SP. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you very much for another opportunity to see you, to be with you, and to just share our hearts with you as we pray, come together to pray. Lord God, I ask that you to open our spiritual eyes to hear what you are speaking to us, and soften our hearts to receive, and anoint me to speak your word, to touch and save many lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So now, after a few months, we will return to the book of Colossians. I think the last time I spoke was back in November, around November or early December. And I got to Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. So today we will talk about verse 9 to 14. Verse 9 to 13. So let's turn to Colossians 1, verse 9 to 14. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respect, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So since it was quite a long time ago, let me briefly remind you some background about the letter of Colossians. Colossae was a town in Asia Minor, so modern-day Turkey, not big enough to be considered a city like Rome. Paul's fellow worker, Epaphras, brought people to know Jesus in Colossae. And Paul did not visit Colossae before. He wrote this letter to help the church of Colossae, a relatively young church, to grow spiritually. And verse 3 to 8, just before what I read, focus on thanksgiving and prayer to Father God for the Colossian church. So some of the key topics of verse 9 to 14 is again Paul's prayer for this young church. And what does Paul pray about? Paul prays that the Colossian church will grow in the knowledge. So that's verse 9. And then verse 10 is walk in God-pleasing ways. And then the third point in verse 11, grow in spiritual power. And then lastly, on verse 12 to 14, continually give thanks. So you'll notice that when Paul prays for a young church or Christians, he doesn't pray like what some of the prayers you and I hear about, or we pray as well. So what I'm talking about, in the past, well, actually I still do, I pray countless times that, God, please deliver me from this trouble or that problem or other life difficulties. But Paul here showed us that his prayer for young Christians or for other people is to gain spiritual insight, is to please God, is to be strengthened with God's power and to be thankful to Father God. So this is very different from the prayers that we often pray or hear ourselves. So this passage has some very important learning points about prayer. So now if we look at individual verse, so I'll remind us of verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the passage begins with, for this reason also. So what is this reason? So from verse 3 to 8, we see that the reason is that the Colossian church have received the gospel. They have faith in Christ. They have love for saints. And they have hope of heaven. This is all by the grace of God. And that God has begun this good work in the church already. So Paul, and I guess also us as well when we pray, Paul can confidently pray to God to complete the work that he has started. So you might remember Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And another point on verse 9, the phrase, we have never ceased, we have not ceased to pray for you. Yeah, we have not ceased to pray you. When I think about that, there's something very special about prayer. So remember, Paul wrote this in prison. Paul can be locked up to prevent him from going to places, or even tie up to stop him from doing many things. But Christians have a special privilege of prayer that no one can stop. No one can stop us from praying to seek God, to intervene, to help a young church, to keep growing spiritually, to bless someone, to draw us closer to God. So it's amazing that God has made something so special, prayer, so accessible to all of us. So don't miss out on praying. And I guess you guys come to EMP, you're not missing out. Next phrase on verse 9 that stood out was, you may be filled. You may be filled. So why is this phrase important? Because it's not by our action, but it's by God's action that we are filled. And the other terms on that first part has particular meaning. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So here, the word knowledge, when you look up on the Bible dictionaries for that, it means full knowledge, deeper knowledge, or even mature knowledge. So the Greek word is epignosko, which literally means upon knowledge or higher knowledge. So remember when Paul wrote this letter to the young Colossian church, it was under the threat of false teaching. So one of the false teaching was that having a relationship with Jesus was not enough. They needed some kind of superior knowledge that comes through human philosophy or secret traditions beyond what they already had in Jesus, a Gnostic heresy. So the word knowledge and wisdom and understanding were all part of the Gnostic cult terms, which set them apart as a spiritual and intellectual being. So what Paul did here is to take these words of a Gnostic, apply them to the Christian context. So Paul is saying that a Christian must have a deeper, clearer, more mature understanding of God's will. So Paul's point is that there's much more than Christian, much more for the Christian than the initial salvation experience. Christians always goes deeper. So we discern the will of God through spiritual wisdom. The word wisdom means the ability to discern the facts. Where do we get this wisdom? We get it from the Bible. We get His will through understanding. What it really is saying is that to apply the knowledge of God's will to real life situations. Where do we get the knowledge to apply this to life? Unsurprisingly, you say, in the Bible. The idea is to get into the Word and have the Word to rule our lives, to change us. This was what Paul was praying for back then. And this is also what we can also pray these days as well. Okay, verse 10 to 12, since it's connected. So let me read verse 10 to 12. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, so please him, to please him in all respect, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So here, our need for knowledge is for a worthy walk, a life pleasing to God. The knowledge of God, His ways, will lead to a walk that is changed from a path of darkness to the one that shines with His light. This is the second thing Paul prayed for in the Colossian church, will lead godly life that please God. So the subpoint or the subheading for the first 10 to 12 give us an idea of what a worthy walk looks like. So worthy walks would bear fruit in every good work, first subpoint. Second subpoint, increasing the knowledge of God. The worthy work also exhibits strengthening with power. And lastly, giving thanks to God. So bearing fruit here can refer to works, praise, prayer, righteousness, good deeds, kindness, and works of sharing Christ. Christians whose walk are worthy always do good works. You know that only faith in Christ as Lord and Savior save us, but the good works give evidence and demonstrates our faith. So bearing fruits is important demonstrates our faith. So the second point, increasing in the knowledge of God. Here, Paul prays for Colossians to continually grow in the knowledge. And I would say the full knowledge of God Himself, not just His will, as we see in verse 9, but the person of God, who is not just what, so who God is, not just what He does. So in reality, what does that mean? It means Christians must fall deeper and deeper in love with the person of God to know Him more and more. So one of the first came to mind was Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. So the third point, strengthen with power. The power is dunamis, the miraculous power of God. So those who walk in a way that's pleasing to God are strengthened by the miraculous power of God. You might be surprised by what we do or what we need this power for. Christians that please God call upon the power of God to deal with daily life circumstances and adversaries. Yes, it is saying that we should be using God's power. Yeah, we should be using God's power in our daily life, every day. The supernatural power. But what is this power for? If you look at the end of the verse 11, you notice that it says, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So you use the God's power, dunamis, in steadfastness and patience. So the purpose of receiving this power is not for mighty acts of miracle, healing, or other glorious things, but for steadfastness and patience. When do you need steadfastness and patience? You need steadfastness to endure challenges, to stand for Jesus during trials and trouble. You need patience when you face things that make you angry or even malicious or troubles from other people. So anything that takes a long time or difficult, we need God's power to endure, not to get away from or to change the circumstances. And we need his power not only to be steadfast and patient, but to do it with joy. So power from God gives us ability to endure not with a grim spirit or resignation, but with joy. And we know that this can only come through faith in Jesus. So the fourth sub-point, giving thanks to God. This is a spirit of thankfulness about life. So this is really important aspect of godliness. Why do I say that? We look back in our own lives, okay, maybe I should speak for myself, how quickly do I forget the blessings of God? Or how ungrateful I have been to the things God has blessed me? Or maybe you think about remember what Israelite did after they left Egypt. After being free from slavery, how quickly they complained about manna, the bread from heaven. So a life pleasing to God no doubt requires giving thanks to God. And yes, these are very crucial things to be thankful for. So how it explains that you can be thankful for? What you are thankful for is actually the rest of verse 12, 13, and 14. So, again, like three very short sub-point. So first, God has qualified us. Yes, God has qualified us, and that's in verse 12. The Greek word is hykanosanti. So he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So second part of verse 12. So Christ is the heir of all things. He will inherit all things. And God has chosen to make us co-heirs with Christ. God has adopted us as his children. We don't have to strive for it. Jesus has done the work. It's by grace we've been saved. This is something we should all be thankful for. Second thing, reason we should be thankful for here, is God has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, verse 13. So our citizenship given to believers from Satan's dark kingdom to the kingdom of the Son is the reason also we should be thankful for. And lastly, in whom we have redemption. So in Jesus, in his Son, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, verse 14. So here is the final point Paul wants those at Colossae to meditate on and remember. He finished this prayer. You are forgiven. You are free. You no longer have to live in slavery to the one that once captured you. We are forgiven. This is a great cause for giving thanks. So may I invite the worship team to come up. So in this prayer, verse 9 to 14, Paul really prayed about the things that matter, hasn't he? He prayed that the church of Colossians would have an increased knowledge of God and his will, which will result in a pleasing walk before the Lord. He also prayed that they would be strengthened so that they could have steadfastness and even rejoice and be thankful during time of testing. These are all the things not only the Colossian church need at the time, but we also need. Paul's prayer gives us insight in both our commitment to praying for Christian brother and sister that we might not even know. Remember, he didn't visit Colossae before. As well as the content of our prayer. So one thing I picked up is that I really should also pray for those around me and as SP as a whole to grow in the knowledge of God's will and the ability to apply his knowledge to lead a life worthy of the Lord. The Bible says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works for which God has prepared for us beforehand. So Ephesians 2:10. Yeah, we should be praying for each other so that we will walk in those good works God has already prepared for us. And that will make a positive impact in the life of others who are touched by those good works. But what would you pray? What have you learned from Paul in this passage? Let's take a moment to reflect and see what God's speaking to you.
In this life.
Lord God, thank you that you have given us such a special privilege, a privilege to pray to you anywhere, anytime, that can change lives, yes, and even change the world. May you enable us to steward this special gift well, so that many, many lives will be saved, touched, and transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to our corporate prayer. And yes, we pray for those who suffer from cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Yes, let's pray prayer that will change their life, lift them up to God, that God give them patience and endurance. And yes, we pray for healing as well. But pray for the grace that they can live a life worthy of God's calling. We pray for our communities who are suffering from other illness and don't know Jesus. Yes, pray for salvation. Pray that God sends some angels to speak to them about with His gospel. Pray that they have soft heart to receive. Pray that all this work bear fruit. For our Christian brother and sister who is suffering from other infirmity, let's pray that they would be healed as well as increasing in the knowledge of God, the whole person of God. We've got a few brothers here who are looking for a job, and especially Matthew, who's going on interview today. Pray for favor of God to be upon him. Also pray that he can discern if this job is something God wants him to take up as well. That is very clear to him. And for all the others, yeah, just continue to pray for God's provisions and meeting all their needs. Today we pray for Japan and Cambodia. Yes, Japan. Peace Sophie and Germans are both in Japan and Hanjin. Pray for the Tokyo Church Plant and SP staff is planning to go also to Japan to kickstart the church plant and pray for Tokyo Church Plant as well. So yeah, just pray for Japan and the new team there, and also for us, that as we go over there next week, that we discern God's will also for the church plant. And also for Cambodia, pray for Grace, our missionaries, and Oasis House, our inner healing ministries of our partner, Pastor Jenny O. Let's also pray for wisdom for Missions Council led by P. Sam. Yeah, I guess lately we've received some proposal for funding for all the different needs that's been going on and even needed more because of COVID-19. So yeah, pray for God's wisdom to administer the funds and how we could best support the different projects. For local outreach, we have Igape and SP Lights. That's we're starting soon. Actually, we're starting. These are the literally the only two, or maybe Bridge also, three ministries that we're still doing outreach or actively going out and do something. So yeah, pray for SP Lights restart, the Red Light District ministry that SP supports sons and daughter. And Ikape, the migrant worker ministry, the domestic helper, that we still have lessons every week. Yeah, pray for God's grace and that God continue to work through this ministry, whether we can go out or not. SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Yeah, pray for covering for Cadence. I noticed you has been slightly unwell recently. So yeah, just pray for her full recovery. And yeah, just cover her ministry. And that God leads her to do what he has prepared her to walk, even though it might seem like a big faithful steps. Tonight is the start of our SP's anniversary conference. It's SP 17. So yeah, so we have Pastor Ed Teo from ICA. So let's pray for anointing for Pastor Ed. And also, yeah, pray that God speaks clearly through Pastor Ed, and that we'll, despite what's going on in Hong Kong, we have this celebratory atmosphere that God has been faithful to SP in the past 17 years. And yes, pray for even greater things have yet to come. I think most of the house church would be gathering here in the anniversary conference. Nonetheless, just continue to pray for the house church to have good fellowship. Some may be meeting in small groups, some may be doing video conferencing. So yeah, just pray that they continue to have great fellowship and support one another. As we pray for Hong Kong, let's pray for God's reign over Hong Kong. And yes, Lent is coming soon, and all the churches in Hong Kong will be doing the One Hearing the Word devotional. So pray that God's word changes heart as all the churches are united together to pray, to seek Him. Yes, to know Him. Yes, transform Hong Kong, Lord Jesus. Lord God, once again, thank you that you have called us to gather to pray and seek you. Thank you for this special privilege of prayer. Yes, help us to pray ceaselessly as you commanded. Pray ceaselessly. Because it's such a great thing that we can commune with you. We can change, you can change our hearts as we seek you. And yes, you'll also change others' lives and make impact. So Lord God, we thank you so much. Continue to guide us and speak to us through prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, please continue to enjoy your personal prayer time. And see you tonight, 7:30, for the anniversary conference, as well as this coming weekend, Saturday, 7:30, and the normal Sunday service. Thank you. Goodbye.